so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I tell you what a difficult, trying time this past week with all of the things that you hear that's going on in the world. And today we're going to start a new series that the Lord laid on our heart, A Changing World, because I'm going to tell you there is a lot of changes that are happening in our world today. A lot of things that we may not understand that are taking place, but we've just got to live courageously in these prophetic days that we're in. There's nothing to be afraid of, because I'm glad that our Lord and Savior is in control of everything in our lives.
Yes.
And so today we start a new series. Today we talk about the nature of Bible prophecy. But the thing about it is, I'm in 1 Peter when I do this, because basically 1 Peter talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 first. I've got like two scriptures that I'm going to read that will deal with this. The nature of Bible prophecy is, many of you are turning to that spot. A lot of us have saw all of the headlines and all of the depressing news and the things that are happening, the predictions of the world. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes, and some of the things that are behind it when I get to it. But I will mention it in just a few minutes. We actually talked about it Wednesday night here, and we were all ready to go. And I just, I hate knowing, though, that a lot of people out there today, with this not happening, it makes some people even less believing in the Word of God because of that. I like Brother Alvin's idea that he read on Facebook. He said a couple of folks wanted to get a couple of shoes, put them out, put some dry ice in them, amen. Let some folks think something did happen. I think 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and then we'll turn right over after that to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're able this morning, would you stand with us as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. The Bible says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." And then turn right over to your right to the 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. And listen to what we're reading about this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. Verse 19, the Bible says, "We have also," listen to this, "a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. Father, we want to thank you for each and every moment that you've given us this past week and today, Father, for People's Baptist Church. And Lord, for those, Lord, that have made a difference, Lord, as they have lived a life, Lord, in front of each and every member, Lord, each and every boss, each and every friend and relative, they've made a difference in this community. And I thank you for, Lord, letting them let their light shine and using them, Lord, to give a message about how wonderful you are in this community. This morning, I pray, God, that through this message that we preach, Lord, that you'll let us know not only has the world changed, but, Lord, your word changeth not. There's nothing made up about your word and your interpretation of the Scriptures and of the things to come. And so, Father, I pray that you'll speak to your church through these Scriptures and through the precious, powerful Word of God, that you'll speak to us and show us, Lord, as the coming days of all the things that are going to take place. Lord, there's a lot of things we may not understand. We may not know the time. But we do have the for sure word of your prophecy, the word of God. And I pray this morning that you'll speak to every heart. And especially if they're cold and indifferent. That, Lord, if it's been some time since they've been, Lord, in your house, in your relationship, I pray that, Lord, that this will be the time, the day, the hour, that they'll come down to this altar and ask Jesus Christ, Lord, and put him first in their life. Lord, and those that are lost, I pray that this will be a day that, Lord, they'll accept him as their personal Savior. Lord, Father, to be free from all sin, they'll have an opportunity, Lord, to be saved by your marvelous grace. I thank you for this wonderful church. And Lord, for each and every one that's here this morning, in Jesus' marvelous, mighty name, amen.
Amen.
I thank God some of the simplest and the most profound evidences that the Bible offers to us today is really the fulfilled Bible prophecy. Things that have been fulfilled that the Bible said was going to take place. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today, they go to the astronomers, they go to the newspaper, and they're wanting to know about tomorrow. But I thank God tomorrow it can take care of itself. But each and every one of us today, I like Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy tells us, and I think I put a marker here in Deuteronomy. It says, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. And so I thank God. There's a lot of things today that people are frightened about, but you don't have to be afraid of anything. If you know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, He is still in control of everything. The prophecy is one of the missing elements in all of the other sacred scriptures of the world's religions today. I'm going to say that again. Prophecy is the missing element in all of the other sacred scriptures of world religions today. Because this is the very thing that really lets us know. Prophecy is probably a third of the scriptures. If we looked at it and saw for what it is, prophecy is an unfolding of the future. And though men that when they wrote this Bible were used as instruments, they did not originate, but they produced it not themselves as the originators, but it came from God. It came from the Holy Spirit of God that they began to take and write down. And so I thank God the Holy Spirit inspired them. They begin to write it down. And so I thank God as we begin to look and see that here in 1st and 2nd Peter, some of the scripture that begins to share with us and tell us some of the things of what the truth about prophecy is really all about. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first of all, I want to talk about some of the things that we're hearing in the world today. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 7 says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered, and he said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. You know, we hear a lot of voices out there today that are speaking out. We hear the voice of the New World Order. Even Pope Benedict recently had called the United Nations together to try to establish an authority. He talked about a real teeth, a global economy that would come together and help all of the economic problems that are happening all over the world. Well, we see a lot of Europe that has fulfilled Bible prophecy in itself that's taking place today. And so of all the things that we see that's taking place, we see a lot of voices that are speaking some of the things that they want to have happen that will make this world better. The urgency that is needed to correct all of the problems, the financial crisis that we're doing today. We hear all these voices that are taking place. We hear the voices that are speaking against Israel on a daily basis. Yeah. They're out there. Here you got this little country the size of New Jersey with 22 Arab hostile countries all the way around it. The U.S. continues trying to broker negotiations aimed at eventual evacuation of a vital area of that country that we don't have any say-so over whatsoever. And so everything that goes all the way back to the Reformation period of time in church history, you never heard anything about prophecy. As we speak about the nature of prophecy this morning, all of the things that were happening in those days. Martin Luther was excommunicated because of the famous stand that he took. When they're opposing the church, they pointed out at the scripture, all the church traditions had replaced the scriptural doctrine. They had disagreed upon those things. The protest was during the Reformation. Finally, the Protestant movement was born. And it wasn't until the First World War that basically we begin to see from all of the voices that we've heard of countries today and all the news that something began to come together. That after they finally settled all the foundational doctrinal issues that were hashed out, they began to say, hey, listen, there's some things that the Bible is saying that is being fulfilled. And look here, this is what is happening. And church leaders begin to look and see of all the things and begin to focus back on prophecy. That's why you never, ever in the early ages ever saw or heard anything about prophecy. And so today, I thank God, one of the late great theologians, H.A. Ironside, he was blind. That man preached more probably messages to people that have their own private plan. He was a man that preached the Word of God. He preached the Bible to be true. And he began to start looking at some of these claims around and that basically in the lectures 1930 when he began to talk about it. So these voices are ringing out. We hear them in the news of the New World Order, the voices that are against Israel. We see the voices that are speaking of the last days of history. We got the Mayan calendar that people are talking about. Oh my goodness, you know, it's the ninth wave and you know, all of these things that people, the phenomena that are that people are talking about. We got the Kabbalah. Madonna's joined in with them now, and her husband, and they say theirs is going to come to an end at the end of 2012, and just another Jewish sect that's out there today, of all the predictions and the things that they're doing today. We got the recent thing was yesterday was supposed to be the end of the world, and Judgment Day, and all of that, according to Harold Camping, one of the multi-millionaire dollar guys out of 89 years old out of Oakland, California. California-based. I believe several years ago he made a prediction. Finally, they built a great mansion out there several years ago for, I think, Elijah and Moses that were supposed to come back. They didn't come back, so he moved into the mansion. Y'all ought to tell you something there, huh? And so I'm going to tell you today, of all the things that you're hearing that are going on, and of course, this guy's got a lot of family-based radio programs. Let me tell you what really scares me. At one time, this gentleman preached the gospel. At one time, he did. But now, he's jumped and he's basically preaching what we call a theology based type of belief. And I wrote a thing down on it when I was looking at this a little bit earlier. Lord knows if I can find it here. But basically, he was basically preaching a replacement theology. If he had stuck to his old roots and old Bible and stuck to the rock foundation of God's Word, he wouldn't have got off track probably with all the things that he's been predicting and done it for some time a while back. Now he's probably looking almost like a cult. The thing is, though, they still believe in Jesus. So what do you describe to be a cult today? He's been preaching that replacement theology, supersessionism, which is basically the church has replaced Israel. We have not replaced Israel at all. Amen. I thank God. We've been grafted into the family of God, and God is going to take us on out of here. But I thank God he still is going to take care of Israel as well. There'll be a remnant of them that'll be saved. And so I thank God is not going into all of that, but basically, let me tell you the crazy thing. A lot of you saw, how did this gentleman come up with this idea? This is how he come up with it. he basically looked at God reminds us in 2 Peter 3:8 that 1,000 years is one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. He goes back all the way to understanding the 7 days referred to in Genesis 7:4 can be understood as 7,000 years. He learned that when God told Noah there were 7 days to escape the worldwide destruction, he was also telling the world there'd be exactly 7,000 years. One day is 1,000 years. This is his equation, Harold Camping. They come to this crazy conclusion of how the world was going to come to end. And so he began to look at that escape the wrath of God that would come when the days of the world of the judgment, he finally began to look at this particular equation that 7,000 years after the destruction of Noah's was 4,990 B.C., the year of the flood, and the year of 2001 A.D., our calendar. He took the 4,990 plus 2,011, which we're in the year, minus 1 equals 7,000. And that was his equation for subtracting the Old Testament calendar date to the New Testament A.D., to be able to come up with it with the time frame that he did. Sounds crazy, don't it? But that's exactly what he did. And that was his equation for doing that and putting it around May the 21st of 2000, which is the 17th day of the second month of the biblical calendar of our day, when we remember the floodwaters that began on the 17th day of the second month in the year of 4,990 B.C. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's more math than I need to know. I'll tell you, I thank God. Of all the voices that we hear, I thank God for the voice that we listen to more than any other voice, and that is the voice of the Bible, the voice of God's Word. And that is the voice that we need to be listening to always, no matter what kind of stories that come across the headlines and that we hear today. Genesis 1:1, the commencement of heaven and earth. Revelation 21:1, the consummation of heaven and earth. You can follow it, each and every one for one. You know what I like? I was reading this book about the Revelation record. And Henry Morris wrote it, and Yosef wrote a book called The Genesis Record. He said, well, your name is similar. That's why he said, I like what his idea. He says, a lot of people today, the way the devil messes them up in their future is because they don't even know when the beginning started. Now, thank God I know when God started mankind, and he created us, and he made us different from everyone else, amen. And so that's the problem today, is people don't even know when the beginning of everything started. So how in the world are they going to know when we finish up? And so I thank God today. The first thing that I want to talk about this morning is the revelation of Bible prophecy. And I thank God Peter is talking to us about prophetic events. He's establishing a fact of the authority and the accuracy of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is so hated by a lot of people today. People today labor in vain attempts to disprove the vitality of the old book of our precious Word and Scripture today. But I thank God a child of God can know the infinite value of God's Word. And it is the revelation of the Bible that gives us the greatest insight into the prophecy that we have today. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 48 that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. And so the word has been used to reveal a lot of things to us, and especially today. 2 Peter that we read to you, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, we read about a more sure word of prophecy. And he says that also that the scripture, in verse 20, there is no private interpretation. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we begin to look today, you go a couple of verses before that, and you begin to realize that basically he's talking about false teachers are going to come, and they're going to proclaim this, and they're going to say this about the Word of God. But it is the most wonderful voice, is the Word of God, that we can have. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, in Matthew 4:4. And so every one of us today, the first the distinctive that we have is the biblical authority, amen. The Bible, the Word of God, it's the final authority of the matters of faith and practice that we have today. It's nothing that's been handed down like a tradition or a man-made teaching of some kind. I thank God there is nothing that is incomparable to the more sure word of prophecy, amen, that is trustworthy, that is firm, that is dependable. And as we start this next 11 weeks, that's exactly what we base it on, amen. I don't know the future. I can't tell the future, but I have God's Word. And the Bible is our guide that we can look at and say, man, we can compare these things to it. Not no Harold Camping, not no Kabbalah, not no other organization that is out there today that will try to tickle the ears and entertain people today. It's the Word of God. I thank God that is with us, that lives and endures forever, amen. And so I thank God here we begin to look and see that it is a permanent book. You remember the story of old Voltaire in the French infidel, basically, the writer. He was so bad about going against the Word of God that today his house in France is where they have and store the Word of God still today. And I thank God it will outlive anyone that goes against it and comes against it today. And so I thank God that that is the greatest blessing that we have today, is centuries that have tried to destroy. The devil has tried to destroy this Word today. And all of the things, can you imagine, I think it's in the millions of Harold Camping that he has deceived by going out, and he sent them from Oakland, California, all over the country with the vans that you probably saw on the news. And can you imagine if that was being used for the right manner, amen? I remember one of the gentlemen, I can't remember his name, challenged them, and they never heard back from him. They said, since you're leaving, let me buy every bit of the millions and all that you've got for a dollar. He never did respond back, amen. So, but I thank God today we can stick to the precious Word of God because it's illuminating. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In Mark 13:31, amen. The enemies of God have come against the Bible and the threatenings, and they've done it over the many, many years, and it's still here today, amen. And so I thank God that it is nothing that can compare to the precious Word of God, that it tells us that we'll be able to take heed to that word, amen. In verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, that the day star arise in your hearts. The metaphor is speaking volumes because Peter is saying that it's the Word of God that is a light that shineth in a dark place. It is the only thing that's going to make a difference today. I can try to come up with something in this pulpit that to try to get attention, that attract all the things. I'm going to tell you something. It's not worth anything. It is what I say from the precious Word of God that will make the greatest difference. It's what you and I both will say from God's Word that will make the greatest difference in this dark and immoral world that we live in today. Amen. And so of all the evil and wickedness and depravity stricken that the devil has going on in this whole walks of life today, he says, until the day dawn, the day star arises in our hearts. Amen. Other words, until the Lord returns, the Word of God is our primary source of light in this dark world. That's what he's talking about. Amen. And so I thank God here the Bible is that self-contained book. It's not up to us to see what we make out of that Bible. It's not for us to rightly divide and to take this verse and this one and to put it together and to try to make everything come together. Amen. It is the way that we do that. And so it is through these precepts of Scripture, of inspiration of God, that we are able to make the greatest difference. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad that everything that's in this Bible, it's almost like I was telling Wednesday night when a preacher was getting off the plane, and there was a Muslim there, and he was telling all these things they were comparing to. And he was saying, you know, I know God the Creator. And he said, well, I do too. I know Allah. He said, well, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. And he said, well, I know Muhammad. He's a great prophet. He said, well, he said, you can go to the tomb where they say he was, and you won't find anybody. He says, well, I can't match you on that one. He says, Muhammad's still there. And he told him, he says, well, you better get somebody that the grave won't hold. And you better believe in them. And the Muslim walked away. And I thank God today, if everybody would know the truth of the Word of God, it would convict them, amen. And I thank God for his wonderful revelation of Bible prophecy. It is a process of a study that is literally interpreted. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 14, 15, 16, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had shewed me. Peter says, I know I'm going to die. He says, I know that life is coming to an end. Every one of us is going to face death unless the Lord comes back for the church. Amen. We're going to face death. But I thank God it's something that's infallible. Amen. Because of all the cunningly devised, he said in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They were there at the transfiguration. I tell you, they saw the glory when it was, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. They saw every bit of that, amen. But Peter, you know what I get out of this? He said, Even if you don't believe me, when I wrote that down in the Word of God, the process that's here, the literal interpretation, then listen, maybe then you'll believe this is what I'm telling you now. That I'm telling you that we did not take anything ourselves and write it down and fabricate it, but through the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to see the eyewitnesses of His majesty. You're going to see the fulfilling of the Word of God, of the prophecy. I believe more than anything, that's what He means by this, amen. And so I thank God there's nothing but the truth and the whole truth. The revelation of the Bible, of the prophecy, literally interpreted, contextually understood in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so today we've got the different schools of interpretation. We got the preterist. It's a view that holds back to the book of Revelation that is being fulfilled to their belief in the early years of Christian persecution. The word preterist is a Latin word which means past according to interpretation. The prosecutions and all of the things that were described during that time occurred during their belief, the Roman Empire. And so the preterist is belief for things that are happening have already happened in the past that have been fulfilled in the early years of Christian persecution. Then you got the second out of four beliefs, the historical. And I've said this before. The view that holds to the book of Revelation that gives a view of the history of the church from the time of John to the end of the age. The book is a process that's being fulfilled throughout the whole church age, and it's a view rejected because I think God here is more to it than the historical account we see. It goes on, you got the idealist, which is the third belief. A view that the book of Revelation is only a series of symbols which represent the struggle between good and evil. Those that are spiritualized, basically they go into the importance that they do not need to be fulfilled. And this is another belief of the school of interpretation. Preterist, historical, and idealist. And then you got the futurist, which is what we believe. There are those basically that we believe the literal interpretation, and we hold to basically the Bible as being prophetic that occur in the future to come. The events from chapter 4 onward as are yet to be fulfilled, and nothing in history that is adequately fulfilled the passages. It will only be equaled according to the Scriptures of the precious Word of God. And I thank God that it will be fulfilled when those times take place. And the spiritual things of the spiritual study, the right of the Bible, and the Word of truth. And I thank God the fulfillment of that. That is exactly the futurist. It has not happened yet. We're any moment, any day. You know it could happen. The Lord could have come back, but He said what? Matthew 24:36. That no one knows. Not even the Lord Himself. Not even the angels in heaven knows that time. And so I thank God every one of us when we look at Bible prophecy, we look at the study that revealed God's will for not only us individually, for the Jews, for the Gentiles, and for the church. It is a threefold division of the Bible that will speak forth, amen. It won't be just for the church as this Harold Camping looked at it. Just from a new age understanding and looking, amen. It'll apply to each and every one of us today, amen. So many people, you remember back when they were talking about Mussolini, and they thought he was the Antichrist. And everybody began to change it every year. We don't know who all of those things are going to be. I can't tell you who those nations and some of the things are being still revealed. People today, things that we thought, well, today we're still struggling with. What? Who's going to be that king of the north? We still don't know exactly because things are still unwinding and being fulfilled every day. He says just take the Word of God and know it and look at it and see and look at the things and you'll know your time frame, amen. And so I thank God that is all because we see the literal fulfillment of what Ezekiel's told us about a nation in 1948, the prophecy that they would be a nation once again. No one has ever done what has happened to Israel. It is a fulfillment of Scripture. It is something that reassures us of the Word of God is what Peter's talking about. He says, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe what we were talking about when we were on the Mount of Olives there, when we were there in the our very presence, the Mount of Transfiguration, excuse me. He said, if you don't believe that in the scripture that I read to you, then he said, today you better believe the fulfilling of prophecy and that God's word is what it is today. And so I thank God, anytime something happens today, anytime there is a process of our study that we can take to the word of God, and there is a focus of our study that we can take it in generality. Go back into your Old Testament in Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. It says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there's none else. I'm God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a rapist bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And so God's word here is the number one thing, the focus of our study generally as we, these next 11 weeks, begin to look at Revelation and some of the coming events and things. There is the only thing that we can refresh our minds to is this word of God. Amen. And there's so many things I don't understand. I have been like a dog trying to chase his tail, trying to say, man, what's going to happen then? You know what? The most important thing that I need is to speak to this Bible right here. And the Word of God, amen. I thank God. There's no one out there that has all the details and all the understanding. There is some guys that are really gifted teachers and blessed. And I tell you, listen, we can only trust the book of the God who reveals the future. Amen. Only trust the book, amen, the God of prophecy that describes, amen. Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 9 is the elements of God's verification through his prophetic signature. He's signing it, and he's saying this, amen. He's telling us he is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the redeemer. He's the healer, amen. He is the one that will begin to give us. He's the only one, the word of God, that we can trust. The God prophecy shows us that is reliable today. No matter what anyone says, he is unique, amen. He is accurate with the word of God. He is reliable, amen. Isaiah 48, amen. All of the elements of the verification in the Old Testament to the New, amen. It is the trustworthiness that we have today about prophecy and its nature. The God who does all that he says, amen. And that is him. He's the God of the book who determines the eternal destiny of all of us today, amen. That is the nature of prophecy. And so I thank God. I better move on because I stayed on that so long. We see generally and specifically Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so I thank God. All the passages teach us the imminent return of Christ. The word imminent means the impending, the looming, amen. And so concerning the rapture, it means the church will be caught up out immediately at any moment when that time comes. So we've got to be able to be busy. We've got to not look to no other source. Amen. It'd be nice, as we said. I had a lot of folks that was telling us here this morning. I actually wanted to go down and look at my wife and said, babe, you still here? It's after 6 o'clock. Amen. You're supposed to be gone. But I thank God she's not gone because she belonged to the blood of Jesus Christ's true church, which each and every one of us represent today. And we're not going anywhere until the Lord says that we're going, amen. And so we look and we see that this is generally and specifically the focus of our study that we're going to be seeing these next 11 weeks. The revelation of Bible prophecy, but secondly, the reliability of Bible prophecy as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto them, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Amen. So I thank God he's drawing attention to the salvation, amen, all the way back into the viewpoint of the prophets, amen. And Peter is the Old Testament who prophesied of the grace that would come. And then I thank God of all the things that we have, it's the truth that the prophets received through divine revelation, amen. From Moses to Malachi, all over the Old Testament, prophets were fascinated by the promises of salvation. But you know what? They didn't get it until later on at the cross. And then what Peter tells us when he was talking about, he wrote, Peter had the honor of saying that he went down into hell and begin to preach unto those, amen. And he rearranged where paradise used to be, and he took it and he put it up in the heaven where it is today, amen. I thank God the Old Testament saints didn't have the promise. Why? Because he had not come yet and made himself a sacrifice available to every one of us. And he did that at Calvary. And once that was done and established, then he had to go down when he died into that tomb, and he went and got every one of them Old Testament saints, and he fulfilled the prophecy, amen. And so I thank God that's what we got. We ain't missing out on anything, church. There ain't anything new that's going to happen or that's going to take place that the church is going to miss out on. And so I thank God it is a fulfilled prophecy. It is a future event. God has given his word in 2 Peter 3:2. He says that ye might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thank God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So God has given his word. You know, by the way, I said, basically I was talking about, I'm going to preach this series before Harold Camping, we ever heard about what he was going to do. And so this was the message God had already laid on my heart, that God is going to, he's given us his word, he's going to keep his word. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I thank God, my last closing point, I thank God is the revelation of Bible prophecy, the reliability of Bible prophecy, but closing the responses to Bible prophecy. This is what's going to be the response. There are going to be some that are going to scoff. They're going to be scornful. And that's exactly what Scripture says. Listen, 2 Peter 3:3. Listen to what I'm fixing to read. Knowing this verse, that thou shalt come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust. Those that are telling their own version, amen. I thank God. You'll be some that's going to be scoffing. You're going to be some that's going to be searching. There was probably people yesterday. I bet they hit that internet. I bet they typed in all the things. Well, the May 21st, 2011, what's going to happen? What? They're searching the past. What did he say in 2 Peter 3, verses 6 and 7? Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. We know it from Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so there are going to be some scoffing. There are going to be some searching. They're going to be out there searching of all the prophecies. Listen as it continues in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Let me say it again. And the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. They're going to be scoffing. They're going to be searching. Some are going to be strengthened. 2 Peter 3, verses 11 and 12, just following right on what he says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 1 John 3, 2 and 3 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. They're going to scoff. They're going to search. They're going to be strengthened. Some are. But listen to this. This is what I like. Some will find salvation. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All the biblical prophecies, the little fulfillments, they may fascinate our curiosity. They may challenge our minds. They may bring us to a personal point of decision and faith as well. And I say thank God for that. I hope somebody took it the right way. I hope somebody got scared. And I thank God in 2 Peter 3:9, I close with this. Again, what I said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Prophecy is being fulfilled, and in light of all of this, the rapture may take place at any moment, but we ought to be ready, saved, and serving. And so this is the nature of Bible prophecy. In the next few weeks, this is how we're going to preach it. This is how we're going to talk. I'm not going to come up with something that's new. I'm going to come up with something that's of the Word of God to remind us what we're going to be seeing in the coming days. Look right here. This is where we need to look. And that's why I'm going to refresh our memories about all the things. I don't know what's coming about. It may be another 100 years. Who knows? I tell you, I'm looking for it now. But I also am looking for somebody that don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior to get saved. And today is another day that somebody has an opportunity to come into the family of God. The nature is little of the interpretation of the precious Word of God. Amen. And so some people can take it and they can put it here and here. That's not how it was to do it. Literally interpret for what it is. Amen. Read it through. And it has symbols. It has images that it paints in Revelation. Amen. We can take those literally, and we always have. Amen. And there's some men that can do better jobs of it than others. Amen. To make sense out of the Word of God because of God's blessing and anointing upon their lives. But I think that's the only way that we can do this. And if you're not saved, you need to be able to receive Jesus Christ. You need to get ready as heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. We ask